But let's read together here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 1. The apostle says this, "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Amen. We'll end our reading there at the end of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, in recent weeks in our little series, "What is this thing called the Church?" we have been looking at what I've called the objectives of the Church. Every church, of course, needs objectives, and it needs to work out those objectives for the good of both the Church and the community where God has placed us to bear a witness for Him. I suggested to you there is a need for rich fellowship, whereby we can encourage one another along the way. There's the need for reverent worship, that we might worship the Lord aright. There's the need for real discipleship, that we might prepare men and women for acts of service. There's the need for relevant evangelism, remembering that evangelism finds its roots in the heart of God, that it ought to be the concern of every Christian, and of course that there's a great responsibility placed upon us individually and as a local church. We have been chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ to bear fruit. We have a great responsibility in sharing the message to warn men and women of their danger in their sin. We have a day of accountability to face, and if we waste our opportunities, God will hold us accountable. And of course we must remember the destiny of the unbeliever. The truth is, and no matter which way you look at this, if they die without Christ, they die without hope. If they die without Christ, they'll never be in heaven. They'll be separated from God for all of eternity in that awful place called hell, where there's no reprieve and there's no hope of escape. That's why I said to you in closing last Lord's Day morning, evangelism is not a sideline, it's the lifeline of the local church. Today, as we come to another objective, I want to highlight the need for a relevant ministry. In other words, every local church should be a place where God's people come and they love to hear the Word of God being preached. Every local church should be a place where the Word of God is preached in all its fullness and where the people of God, whatever their age, have the opportunity to hear the whole counsel of God. It seems to me today that there are some danger signs that we do well to note. In many places there's an increasing number of professing Christians who no longer carry a Bible to church, and that alarms me. Personally, I believe that it's a good habit to carry your Bible to church and to follow both the reading and the message from God's Word. In our busy world today, there are many Christians who no longer feel the need to attend the Bible study, whatever the subject being taught. And in our busy lives, many of God's people no longer maintain a quiet time with the Lord of any great depth. And as a result of that, there's an increasing number of believers today that perhaps, having taken their blessings so much for granted, they really don't know what they believe. And the things that they do believe, they really don't know why they believe them. A minister was one day visiting a home out of concern for a family's lack of interest in spiritual things. When he arrived at the home, he sat down with the whole family and they began to chat together, and then he began to probe them to see where indeed they were spiritually. Every question that he asked, it was answered by the lady of the house, who kept pointing to herself. And she kept pointing to the wonderful Word of God, and she made a reference to that all the time, pointing to the prominent place that it had in their home. During the conversation, as the lady continued to talk about God's book and God's Word and God's wonderful Word, she was rudely interrupted by her young son. And he said to her, "Mom, if this is God's book, we would need to send it back to Him. After all, we never take it down to read it." And you see, unfortunately, that might be true of many a Christian home today. It might well be that the reason for our lack of interest in the Word of God is the fact that the pastor's ministry is not relevant, that it doesn't stimulate the people the way that it should, and it's something that every pastor and every preacher has to consider and sort out on his knees before God. He needs to know what he's teaching and why he's teaching it. He needs to know what he's trying to achieve in the lives of the people who are under his care. He needs to be clear about the direction of the church and what he wants his people to do. And he needs to be systematic in his ministry so that his people have a good grasp of Bible truths, not just a knowledge of certain passages of Scripture which happen to suit either his view or the views of some of the people in his congregation. He needs to give them a good knowledge systematically of the Word of God itself. We need a relevant ministry. So let's begin this morning by thinking about the importance of the Word of God. It's no coincidence that Peter has come today to share with us and has turned us to this very passage of Scripture that we have read again just now in 2 Peter chapter 3. You see, it's through the Word of God that God communicates His truth to us concerning our everyday walk with Him, and it's through that truth that God enables us to face all these objectives that already we have been thinking about, and not only to think about them, but to put them into practice in our everyday living. The problem often is that we don't treat God's Word as seriously as we should. We live in a world where it's deemed now to be out of date. It's no longer important. I've had people say to me, Pastor, do you not feel in the generation we're living in that the Word of God is old-fashioned, not as relevant as it used to be for the needs of the world today? I disagree with that entirely. Because I believe that God's Word is real. And I believe that it is relevant. And I believe that it is everything that we need for faith and practice as far as Christians are concerned. And I believe that it has the Word of truth as far as the world outside is concerned. The problem might be that we're not communicating it in a way that is relevant to the world in which we live. Listen again to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, the Bible that you and I have in our possession today, it's inspired by God. It's God-breathed. It's God's Word. And it's God's final Word for His people. And that's why I say that contained therein is everything that every one of us need for faith and for practice. Let me underline a few things for a moment concerning the importance of God's Word. The first thing is that it saves. Peter has already quoted this verse today already, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That is why we need to be relevant for the world in which we live as far as our proclamation, our sharing of the gospel is concerned. People need to hear the message. But they need to hear it in a way that communicates the truth of God to them. They need to hear it in such a way that they can clearly understand it, and so that in hearing it and in believing it, it will bring them to the place of repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt that different methods can be used. But the message must be the truth of the gospel, so that men and women can be brought to know Christ as their Savior. When Paul writes his second letter to his beloved son in the faith, young Timothy, he says to him, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's what he had learned from the Scriptures that brought Timothy as a child to know the truth of the gospel and to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. A young Colombian girl at school one day received a copy of the New Testament presented to her by Gideon's International. She began to read it and got such a hunger for it that every single day, any moment that she had throughout that day, she would take out her New Testament in the home and sit down and read it. But one day while she was reading that New Testament, her father came in. And her father came over and said to her, don't you read this anymore. He said, what you're reading is full of lies and fantasy. However, the young girl, enjoying it so much, continued to read it. Until one day, unexpectedly, her father came home again and found her sitting with it in her hand. He took it from her, and he took it and put it into his pocket, and off he went to work. He was a mining engineer, and one day, along with 30 other miners, he was trapped inside a mine. It took the rescue team 5 days to reach those miners, and by that time, every single one of them were dead. Interestingly, the young girl's father was lying and holding the New Testament in his grasp. When they opened the New Testament, they found inside a little note scribbled quickly and written to his daughter, and it said this: keep reading this New Testament. It's right and it's true, and I will see you in heaven. They turned over to the back of that New Testament. Inside the cover, the father had signed his name, and he had signed the date when he had trusted Christ in that mineshaft. And underneath that were the names and the dates of the other 30 miners who had also trusted Christ as their Savior. As far as the Word of God is concerned, it saves. That's why we have a responsibility to put it into the hands of others, a responsibility to teach it to others in a way that we communicate clearly and relevantly the truth that God has entrusted into our care. It saves. The second thing is that it sustains. Peter in his first epistle says this in 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I know that some Christians today, and sadly some churches today, feel that there's no need for consistent Bible study. Peter would disagree with them, and so would I. If you and I are going to grow in grace, and we're going to grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to feed our souls daily on God's precious word. We need to study it individually. And sometimes that's not easy in the busyness of our journey through life. Sometimes there are so many things that they're crying out for our time and for our attention, and it's sometimes difficult to find that time when we can get alone with God and spend time around His Word. But it's absolutely essential. And not just to read a verse now and again or a verse here and now, but to sit down and systematically, perhaps with the help of Bible study notes or whatever, to sit down and to open up the Word of God and to take time to read it, because this is food for our souls. And if that's important for us as individuals, it's also important for us collectively. That's why there's a night when we meet together around God's Word to consider its truths. Many Christians today, and I say this very reverently, but many Christians have spiritual anorexia because of their neglect of God's truth. We don't read it. We don't study it. We don't feed ourselves, and because of that, we're impoverished. And sometimes we argue over things that we have no understanding of, because the truth of the matter is we've never got deep enough and delved enough into God's Word to seek to understand things that pertain to our faith. As far as the Word of God is concerned, it saves. It sustains. The third thing is it sanctifies. You take your thoughts back to John chapter 17, to that great high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. He says this in verse 17. He prays, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So in other words, when you and I read God's word, it changes our lives. That is, if we're willing to obey it and put it into practice in our everyday living. It really does change our lives. And it will always change us for the good if we're willing to learn from its precepts and principles. It will make us more consistent in our walk. It will make us more committed to the work. It will make us more Christ-like in our witness. Beloved, the Word of God is able to change your life and mine, and so change us and transform us that we really can be made into something useful in God's hand, and we can be made much more like the Lord Jesus Christ than we are right now. It has a sanctifying effect on our lives. An ungodly American businessman was visiting a village one day in a developing country. He was taken out to visit in the schools, and he saw one of the young students who was sitting reading a Bible. He went over to him and, mocking him, he said to that young man, "In our country we don't allow the Bible into our schools anymore." The young man just stopped reading and looked at him, and in broken English he said, "Sir, if no Bible, you be eaten by now. If no Bible, you be eaten by now." You see, the Word of God can transform. It has transformed lives. Many of us are here this morning having been reached by the grace of God, not what we used to be. And these lives of ours have been changed, and thank God are being continually changed. Nations across the world have been changed through the Word of God that has been brought to them. That's why the Word of God is so important. It changes us if we're willing to apply its principles to our lives. Maybe some of us are here this morning, and that's the way it used to be. We remember those times when we used to sit down with the Word of God on our knees and how we delighted to read that Word. Days when we spent not just moments and minutes but hours feeding our souls upon the Word of God. Our delight was like Christ, to do Thy will, O God. And there was something about our walk that really stimulated us. There were things that excited us, and the Word of God was everything to us that we needed. But somehow the principles that once governed our lives, there came a day when they didn't seem just as important. And we began to drift away from the quiet place. We didn't lift the Bible anymore. And we substituted our quiet time with other things that were not for our good. And in a term, we find ourselves sitting here this morning, backslidden in faith. As far as God's Word's concerned, not as precious now as it used to be. And even though we believe what it says, we don't do what it asks of us to do. Is that where you are today? I'm not saying this critically, I'm saying it lovingly. That if that's where you find yourself, and you're backslidden in faith, and your appetite for the things of God has gone, and you're now on a course that's taking you away from God and the principles taught in His Word, why don't you come back again and take this book in your hand once more? And whatever the grievances, and whatever the things that have vexed and annoyed you, and whatever those things that have taken you away from the side of your Savior, get back into the Word of God and allow the Word of God to challenge you, and it will change you, and it will bring you back to the place where you used to be. This book has got a transforming message. And what it has done for you in a day gone by, it can do for you again if you come back and take it up and allow God by His Spirit to minister to your need as it is just now, as you are far away from God. The importance of God's Word: it saves, it sustains, it sanctifies. And the fourth thing is this: it satisfies. If we genuinely belong to the Lord and we're walking in fellowship with Him, we will learn to love His Word. And if we love His Word, we'll have an appetite for it. And it will satisfy the longing deep within these hearts and souls of ours. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, "How sweet are Thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Our daily reading of God's word will satisfy us. It will feed us. It will make us fruitful in our walk. How do we know that? Turn with me for a moment to Psalm 1. Turn back to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 1, just for a moment, and listen to the words of the psalmist on this occasion. Psalm 1 verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." The psalmist reminds us of the fruitful life of the man or woman who meditates on the word of God, and not only who meditates on the word of God, but who builds their life upon it by living out its principles every single day. He says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you know what that says to my heart this morning? Do you see the person who walks with God, and the man or woman who waits upon God around his word? That person will have a witness that is both faithful and flourishing. And that's why it's so important that every one of us understand the importance of God's word in these lives of ours. Thomas Guthrie said this: "If you find yourself loving any other pleasure better than your prayers, any other book better than your Bible, any other person better than Christ, or any other indulgence better than the hope of heaven, then you need to be alarmed." You need to be alarmed. It's no coincidence that Peter has come amongst us this morning, not just with the boys and girls in the Sunday school, but that he has come to share about those thousands and thousands and thousands of children who know nothing of Christ and who have heard nothing yet from God's own precious word. And you and I, as we sit in church and sit in other meetings like this, we sit and we discuss and debate about the scriptures, about translations, about what's right and what's wrong. And in all the discussion and debate, sometimes we don't even lift the word of God to read it and to meditate upon it. This book that God has preserved for us, what a wonderful book it is. We need to grasp the importance of the word of God. It saves. It sustains. It sanctifies. And it satisfies. God forgive us if we should ever neglect to read it and to live it out in a way that's relevant for the world in which we live. We're halfway through, so I'll leave it there this morning because of time. But let's make the reading of God's word an objective for each one of us individually.